About a month ago, I got up here on a Sunday night and I could not make it through the sermon. I had to quit. I just got started on the subject of Cain. You've heard of people raising Cain. Well, I tried to raise Cain that night and couldn't. So I want to come back tonight and talk about Cain as we continue our series on Sunday nights dealing with Bible characters. Cain's offering, as described in Genesis 4, was not accepted to God. God had respect to Abel and his offering, and he had not respect to Cain and his offering. There is a statement made in 1 Peter 3, where he's talking about husband and wife getting along with one another and helping one another, and he says they need to do this for one reason, that their prayers be not hindered. There's a suggestion in that just because we offer something in God's direction doesn't necessarily mean that God accepts it. And there are many times down through the history of God's people that it says that their offerings were an abomination because they were not offering in the right way. And so I want us to think about Cain tonight from the standpoint of his offering, asking the question, why was Cain's offering rejected? As we begin, let's read four passages of Scripture. First, in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but and unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. The next passage that I want to read is in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 4. This, of course, is a part of that chapter that we call the faith chapter, the heroes of faith. And it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Then in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, for this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. And then in the little one chapter book of Jude, in verses 10 through 13, we have these words. But they speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beast, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kori. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees with whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out to their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now that's basically the references that we have in the Bible to Cain. at least the references that talk about him. There's more said in the book of Genesis about him as far as his having a wife and some things of that nature. But from these passages, again, I raise the question, why was Cain's offering rejected? Why did God not have respect to Cain and to his offering? Down through the years, there's basically been one reason given for that, that Cain's offering was not a blood sacrifice. In other words, his offering was rejected because it was of the wrong kind. I believe that is a valid point. I believe the Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches, for example, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 9:22. Hebrews 11 verse 4 shows that Abel offered his offering by faith. And Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. And passages like Acts 10:34 and 35 teach us that God is not a respecter of persons in the sense that he loves all of us. And so it seems to me easy to conclude that if he had instructed Abel how to offer, that he also had instructed Cain. And so Cain would have known what God required. The Bible teaches the importance of the blood in connection with Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, 1 John 1, verse 7. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You go back and study God's laws under the patriarchal dispensation, and there was the offering of blood sacrifices, as with Abel, as with Abraham, and others. When you come into the Mosaic age, there is the tabernacle and then eventually the temple. And many, many chapters are given in the Bible to describe the different animals and how those animals were to be offered. And the blood is emphasized in those offerings in that age. And then you come into the Christian age, Christian dispensation. Without the blood of Christ, there would be no remission. And so blood is a central part of the offerings made to God at every age. Though the laws changed and the specifics may have changed, the idea is surely true as expressed there in Hebrews 9:22. That without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So I am totally convinced that Cain was wrong as far as the kind of offering that he made. That lesson is important to us when we consider questions about what type of music do we use in the church, or questions about what kind of food would we use on the Lord's table, and perhaps questions about how we would go about supporting the work of the church financially, and maybe even in talking about prayer and teaching, whether or not we would be scriptural according to what God has said. When God has given us instructions as to how he wants to be worshiped, those instructions need to be respected and used as guidelines for what we do. And this has been true in every age. So in the first place, I would say to you that I believe Cain's offering was rejected because it was of the wrong kind. However, I am convinced that there may be more to it than that, that there may be other reasons involved as to why his offering was not right. In the second place, it seems to me that it could have been of the wrong quality. Of course, it was of the wrong kind in that it was of the grain or the field, whereas Abel's was of the flock. But in reference to what Abel did, as indicated in verse 4 of Genesis 4, it says that Abel brought the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. In other words, he would have picked the best to offer unto God. And it just simply states that Cain brought from the fruits of the field. not anything that seemed to be outstanding even with what he brought. God has always emphasized that he is to be put first. You may well remember Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. You may also remember that at the time of the 10th plague, where the firstborn was killed in Egypt, that God set up a principle and a law then that the firstborn of man and animals were to be dedicated to him. You probably remember that at a later time, he swapped the firstborn back to the children of Israel for the Levites, and let the Levites become his people to take care of the worship in the tabernacle. In many cases in the Old Testament, especially under the Mosaic law, emphasis was given, for example, in Deuteronomy 17:1, that they were not to bring anything that had a blemish or evil favoredness unto God. In another passage in Numbers 18:39, he said, bring the best thereof. It is said that a farmer was asked to give one of 10 pigs of the litter, and he gave the runt. Usually in a litter of pigs that many, there was a runt. And so he gave the runt to God. I wonder if there is a sense in which Cain did that, and I know that there is a sense in which you and I can do that. If we, for example, just wait till we come to the services and see what we have left in our pockets to decide what we give to God, that's not putting him first. Now, it is true that the New Testament does not give us a percentage to use. It does not give us a specific amount. And I think that's on purpose, that God left that to cause us to need to put some thought and planning to it, especially telling us that we are to purpose ahead as far as our giving is concerned. We need to learn to put God first. Whatever you decide to give God, you need to give that to him first. When you have a paycheck or income or whatever is involved in determining how you have been prospered, I believe the Bible teaches very clearly that you ought to think, what of this should I give back to God? I read a book one time written by a young preacher. He said when he and his wife got married that they set up the principle that every time they had income, they would give 10% of it to God, put 10% of it in savings, and enjoy spending the other 80%. That's not a bad plan. In other words, they put God first, and then they thought about a rainy day, and after taking care of those two, then they took the rest of it and tried to live within their means. If everybody in this country would do that, we wouldn't have the national debt, and I certainly don't want to get to talking about that. But anyway, the idea is that we need to put God first. You have the responsibility to determine what you give on the first day of the week. I can't tell you. I may teach you some principles. We may discuss it with one another and be helpful to one another. And I think it's good to go back and look at what they did in the old law to help us sort of get an idea. But you have that responsibility. But I am positive that the Bible teaches that we're to put God first. And so I think there may have also been the point, not only that Cain offered of the wrong kind, but he offered of the wrong quality. And maybe this is a second cousin, or maybe even a twin to what we were talking about. It's possible that there was the problem that he gave the wrong amount. And we've sort of been touching on that as we've talked about our giving. It is said, for example, in Hebrews 11:4, that Abel's offering was more excellent. Well, we tend to think of that it was more of the kind that God had said, and that's included, I'm sure. But this word excellent in the original language includes the idea of numbers. In other words, it was a higher number. It was a bigger, a greater amount. Now, whether the writer is emphasizing the fact that he offered a blood sacrifice or more than that, I couldn't prove. But I think that there's a sense in which Abel's offering was acceptable because it was superior by reason of its inward value. Was what God had said. It was the first, it was the fat of the flock. The Bible teaches us that we're to lay by in store as God has prospered us. One fellow said one time that word prosper meant to him that whatever you had left after you'd paid everything else. Well, that's not what the word prosper means there. I am convinced that the word prosper means everything that's coming in to us. And as we are deciding what we will give to God, we ought to take into consideration everything that comes into us. I found that I had a problem early in my located work with people not understanding my support. I worked for two or three congregations that put out a financial report and put down exactly what the preacher drew, and I was not against that. But what was happening was that there were some people who were saying, well, the preacher's making a whole lot more than I am, when in reality I wasn't. I figured up, you see, the preachers have to pay their own Social Security and have to pay all of their expenses, unless in some instances there's a house provided or something. And where a normal person at work, and I guess when I say that I'm calling preachers abnormal, but when a normal person at work gets his check, that's take-home pay. And what was being listed in the financial report for my support was the total package. And people were comparing that and not understanding. And so I talked with the elders and we made some arrangements where I had two items, expenses and allowances and then salary. And it put it more in proper focus. But when I am determining what I give, even today, I try to look at everything that's coming in my direction. There are some areas that I don't know the answer. For example, what I'm drawing from Social Security right now, I've already given on that one time as I was paying into Social Security. And yet I know that I'm going to be drawing back much more than I paid in. And so what I try to do today is to look at my income, not what's happened in the past, but what's happening today, and base my total support to the church on that. And I think that's what we need to do to try to determine the right amount. You know, in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, their sin was not owning something. It was not selling it. And it was not determining how much of it they would give for the work of supporting those that needed. Their sin was lying about it. In other words, they said this is all of it when it was not all of it. I want to give you something to think about. I think this is a serious point. When you and I lay by in store on the first day of the week, we are saying by that gift to God, this is a representation of how I understand I've been prospered. And if it's not a reasonable representation, would we not be doing the same thing that Ananias and Sapphira did? Would we not be saying, this is all of what I believe I should give, when it is not all of what would be a reasonable gift? Now notice particularly in all that I've said, I have not mentioned an amount. And I have not mentioned a percentage except in that example that I gave you. I believe each one of us has got to take the principles of God's word, our blessings, our circumstances into account and determine what we shall give. And I feel more comfortable preaching on giving here than anywhere because our contribution is averaging much more per person than anywhere I go. And let me back up on that. I've never felt uncomfortable preaching on giving because God's word teaches what we need to teach on that subject. And used to, they'd say, if the preacher preaches on giving, the contribution will go down. Well, if that happens, something's wrong with the preacher or the congregation, one or maybe both. We ought to be able to take any subject and look at what God has said and be sure that we don't add to what God has said or take away from it. But having said that, I emphasize again that there's a possibility that the wrong amount was involved with Cain's offering. And there's a principle given in Luke 12:48 that I like to keep in mind. To him to whom much is given, much is required. To him to whom much is given, much is required. The more we have coming, maybe the more we can, well, I know the more we can give, but maybe even a higher percentage of our income when we have more and more coming in. And I am convinced by the teaching of God's word and by experience and observation that God's got a bigger shovel than I have. That the more I give, if I do it with the right attitude, that God will take care of his part. In fact, he said that in Malachi, didn't he? He said, he called it tithes then, that was according to the old law. You bring them into the storehouse and I will open up the windows of heaven so that you can't even use everything that I give you. And I believe that principle is true even today. I had an incident back a few years ago where I had a pie that I wanted to eat, but somebody else needed it. And I gave that pie away. And it's probably harder for me to give food away than anything I give. Would you believe before that day was over, somebody else brought me a pie? Now, I'm careful to try to explain the providence of God, but I know this one thing, I got a pie. And I suspect if we all looked around at all this happened, we've got several pies that have come in many times, haven't we, when we try to do what God has said. And by the way, that brings up the fourth point that's involved in this lesson. I believe one of the reasons that Cain's offering was not accepted is that he offered it with the wrong attitude. Maybe the wrong kind, maybe the wrong quality, maybe the wrong amount. But I'm convinced that it was the wrong attitude. In those last two or three passages that I read, one of them said that Cain was of the wicked one. It seems that he already had some problems even before this specific time that he killed Abel. Jude 11 talks about the evil way in which these people were walking, and he said they're like the way of Cain. Cain, apparently, from these passages, had some problems even before this specific incident. And there's an indication to me in these that he had a problem toward his brother. I don't believe the hatred that caused him to kill Abel happened just on the moment. I think when I look at all these passages, there had been something building up between these siblings to where there was not the attitude that Cain ought to have toward his brother. And then if you'll notice also, when God, who made the decision that he would not respect Cain's offering, that it was Abel toward which Cain gave his anger. You've heard people say, if you're mad at the dog, don't kick the cat. Well, that's what we do with people a lot of times. And if we feel like we're not being accepted, maybe because of what we do or don't do, there's a tendency for us to take it out on somebody else. And I think that's exactly what Abel did. Cain wanted a false reward. He wanted the same respect that Abel got from God, without doing what Abel had done. And this indicates to me that his attitude was not what it ought to be. And really, when you get right down to it, everything that's involved in this is dependent to some extent upon one's attitude. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. The attitude that we have toward life, toward God, and toward one another is going to color our actions in specific cases relative to our worship and relative to our service, even in the community and among members of the church as we live the Christian life. So why was Cain's offering not accepted by our Heavenly Father? I'm convinced that it was the wrong kind. God's always asked for a blood sacrifice. But I also believe, along with that, that we need to look at the quality, the amount, and the attitude. And from that, learn the lessons as we apply it today. As we're involved in our worship and in our service, let's try to do the right kind. Let's do what God has specified. But let's always try to have the best quality. Do the best we can. That's all God expects. He doesn't ask us to be perfect, just faithful. And to give the best amount that we can, not only of money, but of time and other things that may be involved. And especially have the right attitude. You know, if people would have the right attitude toward one another, many of the problems would just automatically be solved. And God says in that little book of 1 John that if you can't love your brother whom you have seen and get along with him, you can't love God whom you've not seen. And as I said this morning, that statement from what's called the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, we need to make earth as much like heaven as possible. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If Cain had listened to what God said and had done his best to offer as God said, I don't believe it would have been rejected. But it was rejected because it was not according to the way God wanted it offered. Let's be sure that we send our worship up to God with the right attitude and in the right way, and that we serve him to the best of our abilities. If you're not a Christian tonight and need to be baptized into Christ, we'd like to help you. If you are a Christian and need to ask for prayers, we'd like to help you in that way. Come as together we stand and sing.